Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we look into your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to be with us, to open our hearts and minds, to be receptive, Father, to this word of yours, so that we can gain knowledge and wisdom and be able to reach those of our families and those of friends and all that we can reach and contact. Father, to share the gospel with, to help them to realize that we all need the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives if we are to make heaven our home. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study. And I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. It's time for communion. Father, as we prepare now to partake of this communion with each other, we do so in the memory of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He done for us. And Father, if we have done anything today that's been displeasing to you, forgive us, Father, and let us know what it was that was displeasing so that we don't do it anymore. And Father, I'm asking this also in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. We know that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." to take your bread. Now get your cup. And after the same manner, also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So drink your cup. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. All right. And may the Lord add his blessing unto this. Now, we're going to be the fifth chapter of Ephesians. And it is 33 verses long. So, don't know whether we're going to make it through it or not. But we'll see what the Lord has in store for us this evening. And you know, I do thank him for this day. Another day that he's gave us to be ready and to get right and to help someone else. All right. Here in verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now we know, as we finished with chapter 4 and all, we're carrying on in into deeper study here. We find that this section that I've just read gives practical guidelines as to how the old can be laid aside and how the new man can be assumed in daily living. The passage specifies five sins to be discarded and the virtues that are to replace them and the motives for such an exchange. One, lying is to be replaced by truth-telling. And since Christians are fellow members, number two, sinful anger is to be replaced by righteous indignation, that the devil may not be given opportunity. And three, death is to be replaced by honest work in order that one may have the means to meet the needs of others. And four, foul language is to be replaced by gracious speech, that it may edify others and not grieve the spirit. Six, resentment and wrath are to give way to kindness and forgiveness, since Christ has forgiven us. Now, in three, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. This "as becometh saints" means that it is not proper for Christians or saints to be guilty of committing the sexual sins listed here. Not be once named means such deeds should not even be the topic of normal conversation. 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. And that word convenient means proper. So you see, the Lord God means for us to keep everything in its proper place and as it should be and according to his word. Now, 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. That darkness indicates that the readers used to be spiritually unlighted and accompanying this ignorance was immortality with its result of guilt and misery. Light denotes the recipients are now to be religiously informed. Their knowledge of the truth is attained by moral purity and happiness. 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Now, 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. We know that because of constant temptation to evil, believers must always be proving or disconcerning what is and what is not acceptable unto the Lord. Now, letting us know that we are responsible for what we accept and bring in to our lives. Now, 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Reprove is being translated exposed. The believer's duty is expressed here in two ways. Negatively, he is not to have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, that is not to indulge in the sins of the unsaved. Positively, he is to expose, reprove these sins, that is, bring them to light and show them for what they really are, so that the unbeliever may see their hideous nature and their terrible consequences. Letting you and I know that we are to bring sins unto light, the light of Jesus and the word of Almighty God, in order to help those that could be walking in them. Now, 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Now, this tells why the Christian must expose the sins of the lost. If it is shameful even to discuss their iniquities in decent company, how much worse is the committing of these sins? Hence, the need to bring them to light, telling us exactly why we need to be bringing these sins to light. That's to help everyone, really. Everyone that can hear us, everyone that we come in contact with. Now, 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest. The light for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. This verse may be paraphrased, all sins that are exposed are made visible by the gospel. For whatsoever sin is made visible becomes light. Now, once we bring that sin to light, it is no longer hidden, and hidden in the dark. It's been brought now to light that others can see, and all can be forgiven. 14. Wherefore, he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Since exposing sin is beneficial, God invites the unbeliever, thou that sleepest, to turn from his sin and arise from the dead with the promise that he will be granted the spiritual enlightenment and help needed. Christ shall give thee light. Now 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And that circumspectly means therefore watch carefully how you live. 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. You know, he's talking about redeeming the time. He's letting you and I know that we are to be making the most of every opportunity. Contextually, the specific opportunity in view is that of exposing the sins of the lost and being a witness to them, because the days are evil. The signs and reason to seize each opportunity. It is because the sins being committed during these days are so evil. Now, here in 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. He's telling us not to be unwise and to look back to the evil days. And since the current age is so perilous, morally, Christians must clearly understand what the will of the Lord is. And the only way you and I can do that is by the study of his word and spending time in prayer and conversation with him. Now, 18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And we know that when we become that born-again child of the living God, we are sealed and filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God so that he can guide us and work through us to help others that are in need also. 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. There are four results of being spiritually filled, as we have been reading 19 through 21. Believers speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That is, they exhort and instruct each other. There is singing and the making of melody of individual song and praise for the Lord. There is giving thanks always. The Spirit enables the Christian to be grateful for all things divinely allowed to enter this life, since they will be used for good. And there is mutual submission that is showing difference to the wishes of one another, as long as that to which the believer submits is in the fear of God, which is to say, in accord with what pleases him. And we all know to do that, but we have those that have been taught this week watered down Christianity from a lot of our churches that are not walking in the strength of the Holy Spirit, and most really know nothing about him at all, because they're not taught anything about the Holy Spirit. In fact, his work, those gifts that he carries from Almighty God to us, is even denied, because they are teaching that all died when the apostles died. No, it just began, really. Now, it has died now because man killed it. God is still on the throne, and he is still keeping his promises and doing his work. Now, 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Forgives the reason why, verse 22, calls for wifely submission, just as Jesus is divinely appointed head or authority over his church, in the same way the husband is the divinely appointed head or authority of his wife, and he is the Savior, our protector of the body, as Jesus is responsible to provide for the welfare of his church. So the husband is responsible to protect his wife. In both cases, the responsibility to protect is inseparably linked with the responsibility to provide spiritual leadership. You see, husbands, that is your responsibility. Your responsibility to care for her, and to see that she is taught in the ways of the Word of Almighty God. And one day, you're going to be standing before God and explaining why you did not do that, to see what He has to say about that. Now, Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, at 27 there, the ultimate purpose of Jesus' love for the church is to present her to himself as a chastened bride, as a man wants a sexually untainted virgin as bride. So Jesus wants his church to be without moral flaw. You see, the church is to be without moral flaw. Now, 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now, 28 pretty well explains itself. 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. 30, for we are members of his body, his flesh, and of his bones. 31, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now, you see, the assertion of verse 28 that the husband who loves his wife loves himself is substantiated by Paul's reasoning in these verses. As the church is a part of Jesus' body, so is the wife a part of her husband's body. Thus, when the husband loves her, he loves himself. And as a man who cares for his body benefits himself, so the husband who loves his wife brings much profit to himself. Man, how you standing in that way with your wife? Are you standing as the scripture telling you to stand? Or are you making errors that you need to get out of your life and to put in those things that is needed for you to be the husband that will fulfill your responsibilities? All right. Now, 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so loved his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. But you know, if you are really wanting your wife to give you the reverence that is being spoken about here in the Word of God, you must be living up to your responsibility and seeing that she knows and understands what her way in the marriage is all about according to the Word of Almighty God. And we have now come to the end of chapter 5, and we will be stopping there for the evening. We have one more chapter and we'll be out of Ephesians. And we will be going in to Philippians. Things are not going to get any easier. God is going to keep reminding us of our responsibilities and how to walk in accordance with His will and His way through and by His Word. So now, let us pray. Father, as I close your word, I thank you for your word this day, Father. And I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to give us what we need in order to be that child of the living God who we are to be, Father. And we need your word and the study of your word to be able to walk in your will and your way and do the work that you want us to do. And as we are guided by the Holy Spirit, Father, to know what that work is, so that we don't go off on our own, but always according to your will. For Israel, in this land of ours, that we both have peace, and that both, Father, will come out of darkness and turn to the light, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our Savior and as our Messiah, and to be able in the goodness of your word, Father. Now, Father, I pray for all that will hear this message, all that is part of this ministry, and all that will come in through this ministry, Father, they all will be in health, in safety, and may you keep the angels around all of us to guard us, Father, and to keep us from stumbling and falling. Now, Father, be with us throughout this evening and through the night, helping us to rest in peace. Father, I pray for all of our families, our children, grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren, Father. We all have members that are walking in darkness. Allow us the Holy Spirit to work with them, to work with us, to bring them out of darkness and bring them to the light, and that light being Jesus. So, Father, they can repent and be forgiven and begin to walk in a changed and new life as a new creature. And that is a new world, Father. Now, Father, watch over us and keep us all through the night and bring us back together again in the morning at 10 p.m. or 8 a.m. Father, at 10 a.m. in the morning and back into your word. This, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless each and every one. Have a good night, all.